We're going to bring the Senate Finance meeting to order. Gosh, it seems like we were just here. Okay, we have full committee, Senator, Vice Chair, Co-Chair Kelly, Senator Olson, Senator Hoffman, Senator Dunleavy, Senator Bishop, and Vice Chair Faircloth. So today we're just going to continue with the public testimony on SJR 9. As you know, we were here quite late last night, till about 10 o'clock, and not everyone was able to speak, so we do want to hear from everyone. And again, I encourage those who can't call in to send us your written testimony. We have quite a book going here, both the supporters and folks who don't support SJR 9. So again, we want to hear from both sides. And I know we're getting the calls and sheets together right now, so while that's in the works, I'd like to have Ms. Gail Fanumiai join us, and maybe we can straighten out the fiscal note that there was some question on yesterday. So I appreciate you joining us this morning, and if you could put your name on the record.
Good morning. Gail Fanumiai, Director, Division of Elections.
Go ahead.
The fiscal note before you, the amount is $1,500, and that cost reflects the expenses associated with publishing information about the constitutional amendment in the official election pamphlet, which is required by statute. The $22,000 that's noted in the analysis section would be if this constitutional amendment or if a constitutional amendment required the division to go to a larger ballot, such as 8.5 by 17 or 8.5 by 18, there would be an additional cost of $22,000 for printing that size of a ballot. Our typical ballot for the general election is an 8.5 by 14 inch ballot. So I hope that answers your questions.
Yes, thank you, Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What would necessitate it going to the larger paper?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, that would be if there were a large amount of judges in a judicial district, perhaps, and there were a large amount of constitutional amendments or ballot measures that were appearing on the general election ballot. It would all have to be sorted out at the end of session, trying to figure out number of candidates. It hasn't happened yet. I doubt it would ever happen, but we just wanted to have that information available to you in the case that it did happen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks, Senator Hoffman. Additional questions? Seeing none, thank you for joining us this morning. You're welcome to stay if you like. Okay, let's. If there's no other questions, comments to come for the committee, let's go right to public testimony. Some folks here in Juneau, a couple folks off net. Let's go to the LIO office in Anchorage. And we'll start with David Boyle. And again, same rules as last night. After about 2 minutes, you'll hear from me if you haven't concluded your testimony. So try to limit the testimony to about 2 minutes. So with that, David Boyle.
Good morning.
Hold on, David.
I am David Boyle, speaking for myself. I have 3 children and 1 grandchild. My wife have had the privilege and honor to serve this country for a combined 46 years in the United States Air Force. The Blaine Amendment language has a very sordid history. It is one of bigotry, anti-Catholicism, and anti-immigrant, things which I did not stand for wearing the uniform of this country. As you know, the authors of the Alaska Constitution intended no public funds were to directly benefit religious or private educational institutions. Unfortunately, the state Supreme Court in 1979 decided to counter the authors of the Alaska Constitution by including the word indirect in regards to funding. The Supreme Court took the legislative prerogative for education away from you, the legislature. We would not be having this discussion if the Alaska Supreme Court had not made this ruling. SJR 9 makes it clear that the Alaska legislature can make choices with regard to the education of children in Alaska. The legislature can enact sound public policy as bounded by the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. Today we see ballot issues on marijuana legalization, oil taxes, etc. Shouldn't we, the people of Alaska, also have the right to a discussion on something much more important, our children's futures. As you know, there have been three polls in the last 3 years, which all showed Alaskans support school choice. The Brown Research Poll, conducted in the fall of 2011, and 1,006 people responded to it, showed that 64% of Alaskans supported vouchers. And by the way, 69% of Alaskan Natives supported vouchers. 55% supported amending the Alaska Constitution. This poll surveyed 1,006 Alaskans throughout the state. That is a much better sample than you have heard today and yesterday in this committee. The unheard voices are people who are very busy. They may not even know this discussion is occurring. Please do not discount their voices. By the way, I have the wealth to be able to afford to send my grandson to a private school. On the other hand, my daughter does not. Let their voices be heard at the polls on SJR 9. Let the people of Alaska decide on their constitution, not special powerful interest.
Okay.
Finally, let's constitutionalize all the programs which currently are in place and are in jeopardy of going away if the Constitution is not amended. These programs are very beneficial to our students. You have a choice. Either listen to special interest or listen to the people at the polls. For the future of Alaskan children, pass this out of the committee. I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak to this issue.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, Mr. Boyle, Senator Fairclough has a quick question.
Good morning, David. Thank you for testifying. I just have a quick question. Were you online last night?
No, I was not online. I was here at the Lyo, and I had a prior appointment at 8 o'clock, so I had to leave.
No worries. I had a similar name as number 62 on the list that wasn't there, and so I just wanted to see, because we did have trouble getting those that were supporting the issue online yesterday morning also. We kept getting disconnected, so I just wanted to make sure that you weren't that person, number 62. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Boyle and Senator Fairclough. Yes, if you did testify yesterday, either morning or evening, we'd like to give everyone an opportunity. Okay, Tom Fink in Anchorage.
Good morning. I'm Tom Fink, a 62-year resident of Anchorage, retired father of 11 adult children. I urge passage of SJR 9 to allow a public vote on a constitutional amendment to remove the limit on the legislature to consider all options to improve K-12 education. This is not an appropriation or an authorization of spending money. It does remove an impediment to good legislation on this subject. It must pass to allow change. There are two tracks in support of change. One, allow parents to fulfill their duty to raise their children to be good members of society. Two, it will allow improvement of K-12 education through choice and competition. There have been three statewide polls in the last 3 years on the subject. All polls show public support for this constitutional amendment. Two polls were paid for by the House majority. The main opposition is the NEA, which has a monopoly on K-12 education in Alaska. A monopoly always believes it is doing a good job and that competition will impede progress. One of the polls asked which schools the people would send their children to if money was not an issue. 39% said public, 30% said private, 15% said charter, and 11% said homeschool. Now, there's been a recent NEA poll released of teachers. Among other things, the teachers were asked, what's the biggest impediment to good K-12 education? And they said lack of parental involvement. Let me tell you, give parents a choice and you will have parental involvement. Please pass SJR 9 and give the public the power to decide this important issue. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Fink. I think this is the previous Mayor Fink and previous Speaker of the House Fink. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry?
Mr. Chairman.
Okay, good. Yeah, there's two Tom Finks, so, or used to be. All right, well, thank you, Tom, for joining.
And the state is my son.
Yeah. Thank you, Tom. We have Representative Rundle here joining us from the House. Welcome. Sorry I missed you earlier. Okay, let's continue on. Patrick Shire in Wasilla. Must be in Anchorage, but it says Wasilla. Patrick, you with us?
I'm in Anchorage, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
All right.
For the record, my name is Patrick Shire, a private citizen now living in Wasilla, Alaska. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the opportunity to speak in favor of Senate Joint Resolution 9. I've been involved in education issues in the state of Alaska for the better part of two and a half, almost three decades, first as an advocate for my own children, and later as a member of various organizations working on behalf of Alaska's school-age children, most recently as a member of the Alaska Board of Education and Early Development. That assignment ended when I relocated here to Wasilla from the 1st Judicial District. My bride is a teacher and has been since we were married in Fairbanks and is in school as we speak. And both sons teach either adults or school children. And so I am intimately aware of the issues that face local school districts, teachers, and administrators. And let me say that I'm unburdened by the notion that this is all about the money. I am aware that there are caring people involved in education in the state of Alaska working very, very hard and sacrificially to do the best they can as far as they can see and in the systems where they serve to meet the needs of Alaskans. However, I have searched in vain for an easy analogy to our current circumstance, but I can give you an anecdote with associated data from a program right here in Alaska. Many of you will remember Alyeska Central School. That was the choice. And there were good results with Alyeska Central School. There were also many students who failed to complete their course of study. Then something interesting happened. A small school district on the Richardson Highway decided it could serve students that were located outside its district, and then we saw the birth of the statewide reach of some districts to provide an innovative, flexible, and accountable system of study for students that may not have been served in their home district.
Okay, Patrick, your time is up, so I do appreciate
it. I will just speak and say I would say that the benefits that we have experienced in innovation are evidence that we should at least pass SJR 9 and give the voters a chance to further explore what might be done.
Perfect. That's what we need to hear. Thank you, Patrick. Okay, let's go off net here to. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's stay at the Anchorage LIO. We have one more there. It looks like Christina Johannes. Christina?
Thank you.
Yep.
My name is Christina Johannes. I represent myself. I'm actually in Senator Hollis French's district, and I had a nice conversation with him on this issue. I wanted to thank you for this opportunity to testify. I urge you to support SJR 9 and let the people vote on this important issue. Constitutions are the principles on which we govern ourselves. The question before you is whether or not we should eliminate certain language in our Constitution that we know has an anti-Catholic pedigree. There's no question about this. The scholarship is clear. Our founders thought it necessary, they thought they were required, to include this language, but the United States Supreme Court has more recently made it clear that this is not the case. As a Catholic, I would prefer that my Constitution not contain language derived from an animus against my religious ancestors. As to those who fear removing this language will jeopardize public education, let me reassure them. If SJR 9 passes and the people ratify it, the education section will still say the following, quote, the legislature shall by general law establish and maintain a system of public schools open to all children of the state and may provide for other public educational institutions. Schools and institutions so established shall be free from sectarian control. Again, I urge senators to pass this amendment and let the people vote on this issue. Thank you so much for this opportunity to testify.
Great. Thank you for your testimony, Christina. Okay, let's go off net. Now, in Anchorage, looks like a Randy Virgin. Randy, you with us?
Hi, did you say Randy Virgin?
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Randy. We can hear you.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I appreciate you taking testimony today. I'll be brief. I just want to be on record in opposition to SJR 9. I'm not a teacher, but I am a parent of two students in the Anchorage School District. My two boys are in high school now. They've been in the Anchorage School District since kindergarten. And I just want to address the school choice, concern that I've heard from people. Throughout our experience in Anchorage, we've had a lot of choice. We've never, through elementary, middle school, and high school, our sons have never attended our neighborhood school. We've been able to apply to several different schools in the district within ASD and have sort of our choice of alternatives throughout their education. We've been very satisfied with the product that ASD has created for our students. We've had great schools, we've had safe schools, we've had, every opportunity that they need to succeed has been there. I've also seen firsthand just the constant erosion of funding for the public school system. In fact, in middle school, I remember their science teachers had $4 per student for science kits. It was laughable. And so parents were constantly writing checks to the science department, to activities. It's like, there's not enough public funding as it is. I have a lot of concern about diverting public funding to private schools. I did a quick search on what's the largest private school in Alaska, and it's Anchorage Baptist Temple. The second largest private school is another religious school. It's just all down the list. I'm not interested in seeing public money diverted to religious schools at the expense of public funding. There are a lot of parents and a lot of families in this community, that aren't as engaged as we are, that aren't going to benefit, and they're going to be the ones that are really, really worse off if you siphon more money out of the public school system. I think that's unfair, and I think that's bad public policy. All right, that's all I got. Thank you.
Okay, Randy, thank you very much for your testimony. Okay, let's go now to Wayne Oski.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Wayne, go ahead, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee, for allowing me to testify. This is going to be short. I want you to please pass the SJR-9 bill. We the people really need to vote this in. The parents are frustrated, as you probably all well know. That's all I want. I'm just support it, and I just hope you guys can do it for us. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you for the testimony, Wayne. Okay, let's go here. Thank you. Let's go here in Juneau. Looks like put on my glasses. Daniel Rollins, if you could join us, please. And then it looks like Irene Matthews and Valerie Spencer. Daniel, welcome.
My name is Daniel Rollins. I'm proud to say that I'm a teacher in the Anchorage School Districts. Let me start by saying that I am 100% behind school choice, but I am also adamantly opposed to SJ9, the school vouchers bill. A little bit about myself. I live in Eagle River. I'm a teacher at West Anchorage High School. My wife is a counselor at Wausau High School. I am originally from Cleveland, Ohio, and I attended private Catholic schools my entire life. I attend an all-boy Catholic school in Cleveland. If you know anything about school vouchers, Cleveland is the, one of the case studies for school vouchers. They just are. They started accepting vouchers in the late 90s. I graduated from high school in 2003. I lived through school vouchers, and I can tell you they had big-time negative consequences. That's why I'm so opposed to it. What we saw happen was it turned into a voucher plus system. Okay, the private schools did not accept everybody. Okay, first of all, there's admissions exams, all that kind of good stuff. That's all well and good. But the financial component, okay, you guys are numbers people. If a school costs $14,000 for tuition and you have a $6,000 voucher, is it really providing school choice? I don't believe so. Okay. We also saw the schools that lowered their tuition to just accept vouchers. Okay, those schools closed after a relatively short period of time. The school my sister attended, I went to an all-boys high school. She went to St. Peter Chanel High School for girls. They started accepting vouchers. That school is in existence for nearly a century. Tons of tradition, alumni support, you name it. They had to close their doors. They no longer exist because they started accepting vouchers. A lot of negative consequences. I see what's happening in our state right now, and it scares me. It absolutely scares me what's going to happen to public education. We have just over 10,000 students in private schools. Okay, you're numbers people. What's the voucher number going to be? It's near the BSA. We're talking what? Let's round up to 6,000. We have $60 million as a conservative number. And where's that money coming from? We're losing people left and right around schools around the state. It's scary. I know I'm not going to have a job next year. Okay, I'm a teacher at West High. I've been there for 3 years. I will be laid off. It scares me, just as I'm adamantly opposed to SJN.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony, Daniel. Any questions? Go ahead, Simmons.
You talked about some of the big negative aspects of what you've experienced there in Ohio. Can you expound on that more specifically? I mean, it's easy to go ahead and say that there are negative things out there, but give me an example of what you think is a big negative thing, with the background that we have a 30% dropout rate as far as the public school goes.
Right. Well, I can tell you there is not a 30% dropout rate in the private schools in Cleveland, Ohio. Okay, those are parents who are actively involved in their child's education. Those kids are going to do well no matter what school they go to. Okay. That's obviously not a negative consequence. What I think is the biggest negative consequence is the voucher plus, which is what we'd have to go to. What is the tuition at Grace Christian? Okay. It is significantly higher than $6,000. Is it really opening up school choice for the vast majority of Anchorage residents or even Alaska residents? I don't believe it is.
So that's the biggest negative thing you can think about?
Well, no, absolutely not. We're going to take away money from our public schools. Our public schools will be weakened with the passage of this bill. Okay, we're going to be diverting money away from our public schools to these private schools. I'm all for private schools. Like I said, I attended private, Catholic, all-boys high schools my entire life. So did everyone in my family. My father was a teacher at a private, all-boys Catholic high school.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you for your, okay, Senator Dunleavy, and then we'll go to Senator Bishop. We do have others wanting to testify, though.
Right. Yeah. Thank you. Just very quick. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Do you foresee, when you say that there will be money diverted to private schools, you obviously have a vision in your mind of what this is going to look like. Do you foresee kids leaving the public schools? And if so, to what degree?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know exactly what that'll look like. I think in the current component, I can speak from Anchorage much more personally just because I am around it all the time. I think you will see a small percentage of students who will be able to afford to move on to those private schools in the short term. However, in the long term, you'll see things like we had in Cleveland, and you want to talk about another negative, the Walmart educations, the Horizon Learning Academies, who are for-profit education centers that do not produce the same quality. Milwaukee just had another school voucher place. used as a case study. They just had a very, very large scandal about someone who opened up a for-profit education center, took all the school voucher money, and essentially closed the doors. And all those kids had to go back to the public schools, and they didn't get that funding. It hurt bad, and it hurt those schools bad. It hurt those kids' educations bad.
So if Alaska does not have a law that allows that to happen, that can't happen?
Correct.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions before we move on? Senator Kelly?
I would just say that the testifier did a very good job answering questions, but I think we have to be real careful of asking questions of testifiers, and we don't want people to think they can't come here, give their opinion, and leave without getting...
Okay, pepper. Very good. All right, let's move on. Thank you for your testimony, Daniel. Irene Matthews.
Hi, I'm Irene Matthias, North Pole, Alaska. I'm a safety assistant. I work at North Pole Middle School, and I speak in opposition of SJR 9. Our school is a Title I school of over 600 students. And I worry that of the safety issues of numbers going up and numbers going down, the cuts that are looming already, and what would happen later on. We see the support staff see 7 to 9 students before they ever get to a classroom. We have in the buildings, we have kids that are students, and then we have the regular, they're just children. So in the hallways is where I see them. In the lunchroom, they're children, and they behave like children. In the classrooms, they're students, they have a different behavior. And I worry about them being able to continue their education if the funds are already lacking. And if the funds go elsewhere. So I would speak in opposition to SJR 9.
Okay, very good. Thank you for your testimony. All right, is it Valerie? Okay, Valerie.
Hi, thank you so much for sort of listening to me. I've called some of your offices and tried to schedule appointments, and I have horrific laryngitis. It sort of comes with the nature of being a teacher. I am here on behalf of NEA, and I am a teacher at Eagle River High School. I do just want to note that I was not the union's choice to come this week. I was a last-minute replacement. Mm-hmm. So I'm here also as an Alaska Studies teacher, taking advantage of the opportunity to see Juno for the first time. So thank you so much for taking the time to meet with me. I am in opposition to this bill regarding vouchers, and for a couple of different reasons. The beauty of an American education is that we take any child who steps foot over our borders, and we offer them what I believe the best public education possible. And I think that that's the truth in allowing choice for our students. And my fear is that private schools, although I'm absolutely in support of private and religious institutions, is the fact that they don't really offer choice for everyone. They have admissions policies that offer admissions for some students. They don't have to take everyone like we do at public schools, and we openly do so at public schools. As a single mother of 3 daughters, I as a teacher, I'm brand new. I'm still not tenured, so I'm, like my colleague, probably slated to lose my job. But I make about twice the per capita income of the average Alaskan, and I know that even with an approximate $6,000 voucher, I would be hard-pressed to be able to send even one of my children to the typical private school in the Anchorage area. I just wouldn't be able to afford it. And considering the fact that approximately half of our students in the Anchorage School District are qualified for free and reduced lunches, it says to me that I don't think a lot of our students will be able to take advantage of this voucher program, and I don't know that that's really offering choice to all of our students in Alaska. So that's my major concern. With that said, I am so proud to teach at Eagle River High School. We had a town hall meeting a couple of weeks ago, and Representative Reimold paid us the nicest compliment. She said that, and I apologize if I'm misquoting you a little bit, but she said she wished she could take what Eagle River High School was doing, bottle it, and distribute it across the state. And with compliments like that from our representatives, and I know Senator Fairclough was visiting our schools about a couple months ago and said a similar thing, I feel like if we're able to offer that at a public institution, I feel like that's offering real choice for our Alaskan students, and that's what I wish to continue to do. Thank you again so much for your time.
Yep, thank you.
No questions, I'm sorry.
I think we questioned out on the first person, but thank you very much, Valerie.
Thank you, Valerie. You took all the shots for me.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks again.
Good testimony. Your voice held very well.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, let's go back off net, and we'll go to Robert Pope.
Yes. Thank you, Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Robert Pope. I live in Soldotna, Alaska. I'm a lifelong Alaskan. My parents came to Alaska from Idaho in 1940 to the Fairbanks area. I'm the youngest of four. My older brothers all attended public schools in the Fairbanks and North Pole area. The oldest of which became an airline pilot. He flew for Alaska Airlines for 39 years till it was mandatory retirement. My other brother became a lawyer. He's one of the best constitutional lawyers in the state of Alaska. I have another brother who is still active in the oil field. And myself, I learned a trade in vocational schools and public schools, and which I had a career of 30 years. I speak out and against this SJR 9 adamantly. And the makers of our state constitution during the Constitutional Convention talked adamantly about this, whether public funds should be used for private schools. We still have two living members, Vic Fisher and Jack Coghill. And I know Jack Coghill was adamantly against any public funds being used for private schools, which I'm opposed to. I think, you know, when I was in the sixth grade is when they first started SAT testing in the schools up here around the nation. Alaska ranked in the top five in the nation then. I do remember that. I remember our teacher telling us that. Now we rank at the bottom. I think we need to fix what's wrong with our, what may be wrong with public education and not pass public money into private schools. I thank you for allowing me to testify.
All right. Thank you, Robert. Let's go now to Risty Dugan.
Hi. My name is Christy Dugan. I am a teacher in the state of Alaska, as well as a mother of four. And I'm in support of allowing voters the choice to decide whether or not to amend the Constitution. I agree with the teachers that we need more parental support. But I don't feel like that parental support will come if we keep things the way that they are right now. As a mother, I want the best choice for my children's education, and I don't believe this has to do with public funding. And if the schools feel threatened, perhaps they'll step up their performance and allow the parents to really be involved and choose what school they feel would give their children the best education. So I hope to see this bill pass. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Rusty. Barbara Eaton.
Did you call that to Barbara Eaton?
I'm sorry, yes, Barbara Eaton, yes.
Okay. Hi, I'm Dr. Barbara Eaton. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the community, for the opportunity to testify today. I live in Senator Faircause District, and I'm an active member in the Eagle River community. I have one child in Chugach High School and one at Anchorage Christian School. I support SJR 9 going on the ballot so that Alaskan families have a choice. I beg you to let freedom ring in our state, given that Washington continues to snatch up our freedoms every day. It's part of our American and Alaskan tradition to have a choice, so please grant us this right and freedom. All of Alaska's children are affected by this, so all of Alaskans should have the opportunity to vote on it. Anyone who doesn't support this will be shown to be on the wrong side of history because of all indications are that this is what Alaskans want. Which side of history will you be on? It's time to put our kids first. SJR 9 is the first step in that direction. As I've listened to testimony today for those who stand against SJR 9, they try to make the argument that passing SJR 9 would make school too expensive for Alaskan students. In my opinion, that's nonsense. It simply gives all of us a choice, and with that choice, the opportunity to fund our own individual choice of school for our children. Why should my choice of schooling for my child be diverted to a school my child doesn't attend? I see this as potentially opening the door for Washington and potentially Alaska to reach into our homes and our finances, which I vehemently oppose. Please pass SJR 9 so that we can have a vote on this important issue. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you, Barbara. Okay, Mark Wiggin. Mark Wiggin, Anchorage.
Hi, this is Mark Wiggin. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. Hello?
Yes, Mark.
Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you loud and clear. Go ahead with your testimony, please.
I've got a number of media going on, so it took me a while. I apologize for the confusion there. I'm calling to state my opposition to SJR9. I believe SJR9 is nothing more than a way to force me, my family, my neighbors to subsidize with our public monies religious education, private academies. It is in many ways, I believe, a tax levied on me in the support of religious schools, a school that my children and most of, if not all of my acquaintances would never send their kids to and they would see no benefit. Why is it a tax? Well, I really do care about public schools and I care about the schooling that my kids are receiving. And by the way, in the Anchorage School District, it is fantastic, the experience we have. Alaska schools are not good, perfect, but they're quite good. If you siphon, divert monies off to religious schools, the communities, and people such as me and all of my acquaintances will be forced to step up to the plate and either pay higher taxes or sacrifice the schools, sacrifice the vitality of the schools that we currently have. So in essence, it is either a tax on our communities or we have to watch the education that we so cherish be diminished by this drain on the public school systems. I have absolutely nothing against religious schools. I went to a Catholic school. My family paid for that choice. These individuals who are calling in saying, give them a choice, they have the choice to go to private schools, Catholic schools, whatever kind, and pay for it. All of my friends, all of my social circle are very, if not reasonably, happy with public schools. I'm not sure I understand who the polling data is that people are referring to. None of my acquaintances support this SJR9, and if we could have gotten through calling last night, I was on the phone for two hours, we would have so stated. I sure appreciate the opportunity, though, to present, and please oppose SJR9. I do believe it is a tax on those of us who don't need private schools or religious academies. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Mark. Okay, let's go back to the Anchorage LIO. Kathleen Tan.
Good morning. My name is Kathleen Tan, and I'm representing myself this morning, although I am a member of the Anchorage Baptist Temple. I am in support of school choice. I believe parents deserve the opportunity to choose where their child or children attend school. Now, I have two sons. They are adults. My oldest son is pursuing his Master's of Business Administration at APU. He got his undergraduate degree at UAA. My youngest son has a bachelor's degree from Wayland Baptist University. But they went to the public schools here in Anchorage when they were children and teenagers. Now, I obtained an undergraduate degree in education from UAA a long time ago. I'd like to share with you the experience that my sons had in the Anchorage School District. Please listen. When my children were attending Service High School, when my son Javen was a senior, the principal of Service High School committed suicide. The fallout of that man's decision to kill himself affected the student body and affected my sons. My oldest son never went to his graduation. He was so demoralized by the activity that took place in Service High School. Not only did the principal kill himself, but there was a mother who had three sons in that school, the oldest boy being in my son's government class. She killed her three boys while my sons were at service. Well, at that time, South High was being about to open up, and my youngest son, Nathaniel, had the opportunity to choose to stay at service or go to South High. He opted to enter into a brand new school, hoping for a much better experience than what he experienced at Service High. Let me share with you what I saw on my son's face the day that a Service High student who had been in my younger son's class at Service when he killed his stepmother. I picked up my two sons from school and I drove over to the fuel station on Huffman Road. Now, the principals at South tried to pull all the newspapers out of the school so the children would not see the face of the young boy who killed his stepmother. But when my youngest son went into the service station to pay for the fuel that I put in my vehicle, he saw the newspaper. The look upon Nathaniel's face as he walked out to my vehicle was horrifying. His face was contorted in pain and confusion. And as he opened the door to my little vehicle, he said, "Now I know someone who has killed and was killed." The subsequent fallout of the Anchorage School District is such that there are serious problems in the Anchorage School District, and using the argument that public funds should not be applied towards a voucher so parents can have a choice in schools is ill-founded, especially since taxpayers' dollars are going to pay for abortions.
Okay, Kathleen.
What is the difference?
Kathleen, we're kind of getting off.
Our monies are being funneled to kill babies,
Kathleen,
and yet
Kathleen,
there are others who don't even want to give parents the choice.
Kathleen, your 2 minutes are up. We take it you support this SJR 9.
I am very supportive of this, and I hope that people have an opportunity.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Thank you.
And hopefully it is passed.
All right. Thank you for your testimony. Okay, let's go off the net now. We'll go to Celeste Hodge, who I believe I saw your name on the list last night, but I don't think you were able to get through, so we welcome you this morning, Celeste.
Great, thank you. Senator Meyer, members of the Finance Committee, good morning. As shared, my name is Celeste Hodge, and I want to first thank God for allowing me this opportunity to testify. Yes, I originally planned on testifying from Anchorage yesterday, but my fiance's mother is battling cancer, and I took a turn for the worse, and so we boarded a flight yesterday to Fairbanks. His mom's outlook looked grim, but the prayer warriors were out in full force. I stepped away from her bedside yesterday and attempted to testify because this issue means so much to me and the clients I serve. Unfortunately, the three-hour wait proved too much, and I had to hang up. I am the executive director of Shiloh Community Development Incorporated, a local nonprofit organization that empowers youth, minorities, and the disadvantaged. The organization's goal is to enhance the quality of life of those less fortunate by providing transitional assistance, economical, educational opportunities, job search support, health education, prevention and wellness programs, and youth mentoring. As the former president for nearly a decade of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, for those that don't know, that's the largest and oldest civil rights organization in the world, I am gravely concerned with SJR9 and urge you in the strongest terms possible to vote against it for many of the reasons you heard yesterday and today, but more importantly to me because I know it could be used as a tool to discriminate. Senator Meyer, if I can just add, I am also so thankful today. I am testifying from Anchorage because of the prayers. We were able to head home on the last flight out because my mom's fiance's mother was up with her glasses on and watching television. Praise God. So thank you very much for this opportunity.
Great. Well, glad to hear your mother's doing well, Celeste, and we miss you down here in Juneau. Okay.
Thank you, Senator Meyer.
Thank you. Let's move on now to John Baumeister.
Hello. My name is John Baumeister. I'm a parent of two children in Anchorage, Alaska. And can you hear me okay?
Yep, sure can.
Yeah. Okay, great. I'm calling in support of SJR9, and really what I think this comes down to ultimately is who's responsible for a child's education. Is it the parent? Is it the state? Is it the federal government? I honestly believe it's the parent. I have seen numerous cases where whether or not a child does well depends on whether or not they've got involved parents at home. You can have the same set of teachers, you can have the same set of circumstances at school, but if the parents aren't involved, then it really affects whether or not that child's going to succeed. And when it comes down to it, whose basement is that kid going to be living in if they don't succeed? Mine. So it's my responsibility to make sure that my child gets a good education. And I think any tools we can put in parents' hands to help direct their children's education is a plus in the long run. And when it comes down to it, if we do pass this and we do have vouchers, we're talking about a percentage of what gets spent per child going into parents' hands. So even if 10, 20% of the kids leave the public education system, they're still going to get, they'll wind up with more money per student in the school, because you're going to take only a small percentage of the money that goes with that child out. They're not taking out the entire $14,000 that we spend in Anchorage. So you'll have more money per student, you'll have smaller class sizes, and it could eventually make for a more efficient system even in the public school systems. But ultimately, I really think it comes down to who's responsible for the child's education. And if the parent is the person who's ultimately responsible, as I believe, then I think we ought to have as many tools in our arsenal to affect their education. And I think that's what this bill would lead to. Thank you very much for allowing me to testify.
All right. Thank you, John, for your testimony. Deborah, is it Berlini?
Hello?
Deborah? Deborah, is this you?
Hello?
Yeah. Hello, Deborah.
Hi. Good morning. My name is Deborah Berlini, and I am testifying in opposition for SJR9. I'm a 38-year Alaskan and a product of the Anchorage School District and the University of Alaska Anchorage. I am in a unique position to speak both about parochial and private schools and the public school system because my children have participated in all three. I spent over $100,000 in private education for both my children, and my children have since been attending public schools in Anchorage for the past 7 years. I do not believe that we should be discussing a constitutional amendment in support of funding private school education. My children in our rural districts and villages will not have the option to attend private schools. My question to you is, where are the families in Queslick, Napaskiak, Eek, Igigik, Angoon, Shafortnik, Kipnuk, and other rural communities going to use their school choice vouchers? I also have concerns about the lack of standards and supervision of private schools. My children attended an exempt private elementary school where my son was harmed academically, and I would go so far as to say emotionally harmed. I moved my children abruptly to the Anchorage School District where my son was assessed at a reading level at first grade first month, and he was entering the third grade. After I moved my children from this private school, 44 students followed, and most ended up at Sound Lake Elementary. And the majority of those children, much like my son, were very far behind academically. I believe by allowing funding to private schools, the state will be creating another bureaucracy that will end up costing the state millions, because the state will have to tightly regulate and oversee private schools. Thank you for the opportunity to testify.
All right. Thank you, Deborah. Okay, let's see. We're going still off net. Catherine Hicks.
Yes, this is Catherine Hicks. I'm an Anchorageian. Speaking for myself, I am urging you to support SJ9 because I think that, for one thing, I've been listening to the testimonies and people are saying, I don't approve of my tax dollars. We don't pay taxes up here. We get, the state does not pay taxes up here. We get our money from the oil companies, and this is the same group of people that are saying it's our oil, and we want to tax them more and everything. It just does not make sense. We don't pay state taxes, and so nobody can use that as a thing. I don't want my tax dollars. They don't pay any taxes. The educators blame lack of parental participation in the failing schools up here, and I've had many of them say that to me, and yet they are now refusing to let the parents be involved in the choice of their children's education. So I don't think that these teachers can have it both ways. They've either got to take responsibility for what they're putting out, or they need to allow parents the choice to be involved in their children's education. Thank you very much. Now sign off.
All right. Thank you, Catherine. Okay, Maria Rensel. Is Maria there? Okay. Maria, are you with
us? I'm here.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead,
please. I sure am.
Great.
This is Maria Renfels from Fairbanks, and I'm represented by Senator Bishop. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today. I voted at the LIO last evening with a room full of teachers and didn't get a chance to speak then, so I appreciate the hearing being extended. I'm unaffiliated. I was raised Catholic, and I am speaking in favor of SJR 9. And I'd just like to echo the sentiments of those who spoke earlier today in support of SJR 9, especially the comments of David Boyle and Tom Fink, excuse me, because letting the people vote gives the people of Alaska a voice in making this decision to remove the impediments to good legislation. I also strongly agree that with Tom that monopolies, like our public schools, end up keeping the costs high, in addition to believing that they're doing the best job. Lots of teachers have testified that this would divert money away from public schools, but my understanding is that what this does for the finance of the states that have tried it is it has a positive effect on state budgets, and that some of the money actually gets left behind in public schools. So the teachers have testified and the educators have testified that this would draw money out of the public schools. May not know that that's not exactly accurate. It's not a one-to-one relationship. Regardless of all of this, this discussion isn't really about vouchers. It's not about monopolies. It's really about it's not about the legislature deciding to repeal the Blaine Amendment. It's about the legislature taking the first step to giving parents more control to make the choices that are best for their own family. I'd ask you all, and especially Senator Bishop, I would ask you to let the people vote about what their choices will be in the future. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you, Maria. Okay, let's, thank you. Okay, let's move on now to Candace Jesclard.
Good morning. My name is Candace Jesclard, and I live in the Senate District represented by Senator Lisa McGuire, and I am unaffiliated. I am calling as a concerned Alaskan and as a concerned grandmother. I am calling in support of SJR 9. I believe that it needs to take place. The citizens of Alaska should be given the opportunity to decide if they want to retain the Blaine language in the Constitution or not, and am wary of a judge making a decision that I believe parents should be more involved in. I have 5 grandchildren attending grade school in the Anchorage School District, and in a few years there will be 7 more. And I hope that you will move this bill out of committee so that Alaskans can vote on it and that they can make their own choice in something as critical as the future of our children. And I'd like to thank you for giving me the opportunity to testify on this particular subject. And I'll sign off.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Candace.
Thank you.
Everyone that I had signed up to testify, I think we wore everybody out last night. We had about 4 hours of testimony and spent about an hour yesterday and an hour today. So we had 6 hours of public testimony. So if there is no one else here in the room or online in LIOs, then no go. Is that right? Okay. Then we're going to go ahead and close public testimony. I was just kind of watching my emails, as I'm sure a lot of you are, and emails are still coming in, both pro and con, and again, would encourage people to continue sending us the emails as well as the letters and phone calls, although emails work the best. I think that we've closed public testimony here, and at this time, we'll let Senator Dunleavy have any closing remarks. We'll take some committee discussion. The rest of this week, we are going to take up various education bills. As you know, this is kind of our education week. We have the broadband discounts for schools tomorrow, Senator Olson, and then Senate Bill 111, I believe it's Senator Stevens, to repeal the high school exit exams. We'll be taking those up starting tomorrow. And I think what I'll do, I'll hold this bill as well, so we can kind of see how the other bills play out throughout the week. But Senator Dunleavy, I would like for you to, this is your bill. We've heard, as I said, 6 hours of public testimony or more, a ton of emails, a whole book full of them here. So I'd like to give the floor to you now to reflect on what you've heard and discuss the passage of your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We've heard a lot of testimony from a lot of different folks in various parts of the state. And what this process has done, at the very least, this has brought a light on education. I think, when things are going well and budgets are flush, oftentimes we don't have an opportunity to look at programs such as education with a keen eye. For the public record, I'm a product of the public schools. There's no private schooling in my background. My children are a product of the public schools. They currently attend public schools. Same with my wife. My profession is as a public educator. This is about giving each individual Alaskan a say in their educational system. This is about giving each individual Alaskan a say on what that educational system should look like. We've heard testimony from experts as well that gave us the history of the Constitution in Alaska. It's talked about our U.S. Constitution. There's been a number of, characterize it and phrase it correctly. From my perspective, there's been a number of extreme possibilities that have been brought forth in the hopes that folks at this table will view them as realities, that these will be the outcomes. Kids will leave the system en masse to go to private schools as a result of SJR 9. SJR 9 does not have a mechanism in place. It's not a program. So nothing's going to happen until a program is developed. I highly doubt that the legislature would put together a program in which children exit the system en masse. We put a lot of money into public education. I am a supporter of public education. My purpose in bringing this forward was to broaden the reach of public education to include as many Alaskan children as possible. We've heard extreme possibilities of $100 million, $90 million going out of the coffers. In some respects, I get whipsawed by these conversations. On the one hand, we want to put more money into education. On the other hand, we got to watch out we don't put more money into education. I think we're picking and choosing our arguments for those that oppose SJR 9 because I think they're concerned, and some are, to be fair, some are concerned, I think, legitimately because they may not understand what SJR 9 really does. And we've tried to drive that point home that SJR 9 is constitutional language in and of itself is not a program. We brought up the example of Nebraska, 72 and 76, they modified their constitution. There's no program in Nebraska. There's no money going into anything as a result of their constitutional changes. That only happens if the legislature wants to do that. We've heard examples of Cleveland and how things in their quote voucher program is not a good thing. I think we need to look at the other side of the story as well. I would imagine if Cleveland was such a disaster, the legislature would fix it. The legislature would take a look at it and say, this is not working. But what we're seeing across the country is not a contraction of these programs. We're seeing an expansion of these programs. We're seeing an expansion of school choice, and school choice is a large net. Folks have zeroed in on the concept of vouchers, and they've zeroed in the concept of an extreme example of a voucher. In other words, public money going to church schools. It's very difficult for me to find an example for that because, again, the people that are concerned about a separation of church and state, and I agree with them 100%, that's codified in the U.S. Constitution, in the First Amendment, the Establishment Clause. It's also codified in our Constitution, in the First Amendment. We codify that in our state constitution. So the idea that we're going to empty our wallets, our public wallets, our public money into church schools, I believe there's really no foundation for that concern. So I ventured down this path when I became exposed to a school choice program, a public school choice program, homeschool charter school concept. And as you remember, if you have been around long enough, if you think back into the 90s when homeschool, public homeschool started, after a bill that was passed by a former senator, or had, I guess ramrodded by a former senator, you had public homeschools and public homeschool and correspondence schools sprung up. They sprung up to take advantage of an opportunity to educate more Alaskans. As a result, thousands and thousands and thousands of Alaskans' children have migrated to those programs. And I, you know, I take my hat off to the legislature at that time. They gave another tool in the box of school choice, public school choice, for Alaskans. So if they didn't want to, if these students and these parents did not want this program, they would not have migrated into it. And they continue to migrate into these programs. We've heard discussions that, you know, this is an attempt to destroy the public educational system. This is not an attempt to destroy the public educational system. This is an attempt to expand the educational system. Nobody wants to destroy the system. But with more choice and possibilities within the system, you're going to capture more children that are going to become engaged. There was a mention on the in the testimony that parental engagement is key. It's absolutely key. It's absolutely key. And so if you've got parents that feel that they know their children better than anyone, and I would hope that I hope there's parents that are listening to this that would agree that they know their children better than anyone, they also know what works best for them, where the placement is best for them, what approach is best for them. And what's interesting is children and people change. There are some years that a best fit for a child is a neighborhood school. Right now I have a 14-year-old freshman in Wasilla High. She's doing fantastic. It's the best placement for her. I have a 17-year-old that was in Wasilla High last year, has elected to go to the homeschool correspondence program because for what she wants now, it offers the best choice for her, and it's meeting her needs. We're engaged. They're succeeding. And I dare say this is the case for most parents if given an opportunity. There was a time in this country where it was a neighborhood school and that was it. That's what worked and that was it. We don't have the statistics that go back during those times, but most of us would agree that a lot of folks were left out of that system. Minorities, folks with special needs, the list goes on. In the 60s, we changed the game for public education. We included more people, folks with special needs, minorities again, et cetera. We included more people into the system. We expanded the system. We took into account the differences in people. So when I hear people say, we have enough choice, who decides that we have enough choice? People are very different. People are very different, again, at different times in their lives. The horror stories that have been brought up that will happen, there's no precedence for it. On the screen yesterday, we looked at 26 states with 42 programs. Maine and I think New Hampshire have had programs in place for 130 years. Nobody's hair caught on fire and it didn't rain toads. There's no evidence of that. Those programs were put in place because they met the needs of a specific group of kids, and it works for them. You look at Wisconsin. Wisconsin had one limited to Milwaukee and a certain income level. It expanded to Racine, and now it may expand statewide. Is it expanding on its own? No. The people in Wisconsin want that to happen. The legislature votes these bills in and wants it to happen. If the people in Wisconsin did not want this to happen, it wouldn't happen. And it's the same here in Alaska. So we're in a position right now, this committee is in a position right now, where it's going to make a decision as to whether the people of Alaska can become engaged in their educational programs, educational system, in a more deeper fashion than they have in the past. If we don't pass this out of the committee, what are we telling Alaskans? We don't trust you. We don't trust your judgment. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're talking about. All we do by passing this out of the committee is giving Alaskans a chance to weigh in on this issue. There's many questions involving education. There's going to be many questions, and there should be a deeper conversation. The funding issue has come up. That is an issue. That's an issue that should be discussed, and it should be discussed by itself. There is, again, there's issues as to what this program will look like. That issue should come up. But if we don't move this out of committee, if we don't allow that discussion to occur and become deeper, I think we've missed a tremendous opportunity. And we're going to have to go back home and tell our constituents, you know what, we didn't move this out of committee because we did it for you. We want to make sure that you wouldn't do anything, you know, that could screw up the Constitution. We want to make sure that we knew what was best for you. So the very people that thought it was incredibly wise to vote us into office to speak for them, we're going to turn around and say, you know what? Yeah, you were wise that time, but maybe not this time. This educational system belongs to all Alaskans. This system needs to be discussed by all Alaskans, not just a special group here or there, not a group that's tied in directly to the system, and not just professionals, not just practitioners, but all people. And a lot of folks have become disengaged in the system because they don't feel they have a voice. We don't move this out of committee. We've confirmed the fact that they don't have a voice, that we don't want to listen to what they have to say, that we have all the answers, that the state has all the answers for all the kids and all the people in the state of Alaska. If we truly care about the people, if we truly care about the kids, we will further this discussion. We will continue to further this discussion and move it through committees and move it to the floor. And I dare say, if this gets on the ballot, which I hope it does, then the people of Alaska will let us know what they want. We kill it here, it dies. Mr. Chair, I appreciate the opportunity to talk on this issue, but education is a civil rights issue of our time. And I'll end up here pretty quick, but to tell Alaskans, you're not going to be part of it, we're going to make the decision for you, I think it's terrible. We're going to be going into the fall, and we are going to be able to vote on marijuana. We're going to be able to vote on a minimum wage. We're going to be able to vote on a tax repeal for oil. The people are going to speak. I don't know how many times I've heard that, but when it comes to their constitution and their educational program, oh my God, don't let them near it. They may ruin it. They may screw it up. I have a lot of faith in the people in Alaska. I'll continue to have a lot of faith in the people in Alaska. And I think in the end, the Alaskan people will do the right thing regarding this constitutional amendment. If they don't want it, they'll vote no. If they want it, they'll vote yes. But I don't think we have the right, and I think it would be a wrong decision for this committee to not move this bill forward. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Senator Dunleavy, and I do appreciate you bringing this bill forward. You know, just for the record, Senator Dunleavy, obviously you're a state senator and a father of three children, but you have quite an extensive background in education as well. For the record, can you tell us, because I know you've been a superintendent, teacher all over the state.
I'm a graduate of the public schools. I attended college. The first college I went to was a state college. The second one was a private college. And then I got my master's at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. I've been a teacher, assistant principal, director of various departments in a school district, assistant superintendent. I have been a school board member, school board president in the MATSU. I have worked in homeschool correspondence programs, large elementary schools, small school districts, large school districts. I've worked for the University of Alaska. I've contracted and worked with the Department of Education through managed the Teacher Mentor Project. I've done a lot of things in education. I kind of have an idea, I guess, what I'm talking about.
Okay, you were superintendent where?
Northwest Arc. And I was a member of NEA at one time. Some may find that hard to believe, but I was a member of NEA. I know that Senator Kelly was asking folks, so yes, I was. And right now what I am as a senator is an advocate for kids that don't have a voice, and for Alaskans that don't have a voice. That's my job right now. 30-some thousand in my district I represent, and they've been telling me they want to vote on this issue.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Senator Dunleavy. Questions for the sponsor of the bill? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With all due respect, Senator Dunleavy, as you look at this issue, and you and I and members here around the committee are college-educated and fairly well-versed in the issues that are going on out there, but I dare say that the people out in rural Alaska, let's take the elder out in Shishmaref, for example, English is a second language to him. He doesn't even understand what the issue is out there. And you're asking that kind of person, and they've got a lot of wisdom. I'm not saying they don't have any wisdom. I'm saying that they don't have the information that we have to go ahead and make an educated choice when it comes time to the ballot. Yeah. What do you say to that person?
I say if we kill this now, they never will have that opportunity. If we allow this to get to the ballot, there's going to be months and months and months of discussions on both sides of this issue. And I would hope that folks, even in rural Alaska, will become more informed, will have the discussion. But if we kill this here, they'll never have that opportunity.
Well, that's what the person out there that has elected me to come out down here, because I am much more educated and more versed on what's going on out here. That's why they got me down here, not so much so they could have somebody that has got the resources, that has the information at their access to go ahead and vote on this. That's why they voted me down here. Why can't I make the decision?
Well, you can, and you have that ability, and I'm asking you to make that decision so they have the opportunity to further discuss this. We're going to have SB 21 about a repeal. They're going to have to vote up on that, as all Alaskans are. Marijuana vote, minimum wage vote, et cetera, et cetera. Folks are going to have to become informed and vote on these issues.
Chairman, two separate issues. We're dealing with a constitutional amendment here, possibility. Those are our initiatives that are completely separate ways to go ahead and get around what the people want. But I'd like to go ahead and go on to the next subject that I have. We've obviously, what I am concerned about is the high school graduation rate here in the state of Alaska in the public schools. That's what I base everything on, and that's where I see that there is room for improvement. We have certainly heard a monumental amount of testimony to this subject that's here. And you have pointed out that over the last, well, first of all, what I've seen is the graduation rate is continuing to decline. So that now we're approaching 30% people that are in high school don't graduate. And that's happened since the 90s. And as you pointed out, that's when choice started, with charter schools and et cetera. And I'm not saying that charter schools are the problem. I'm saying it may be an unintended consequence if you have your select people go to charter schools. That leaves the less than select out there that may be floundering there and are disenfranchised, as you pointed out. If this were to pass, and we look at looking prospectively, and look at the graduation rate 5 years from now, if it hasn't improved, would you consider repealing SGR9?
If it doesn't improve, and it's a direct correlation, and research supports that as a result of SGR9, harmful things are happening to Alaskans, and the graduate is plummeting as a result of SGR9, I would be more than happy to be engaged in that conversation.
Okay, very, very good. You know, I think this is good discussion, and I'd like to continue it here while we still have a few more minutes in committee. I am bending the rules a little bit. Senator Dunleavy, you should go through the chairman, but that's fine. This is a discussion around the table, and I think it's good for the public to hear this as well. Senator Kelly, did you have a question?
Mr. Chairman, I listened to the discussion here. For one thing, I'd like to just kind of posit that I don't think there's any correlation or causal effect from charter schools and a drop in the graduation rate. But aside from that, this state needs to go through a discussion on education, and we haven't. What we go through every single time is a discussion on funding. There are those in the legislature or those in the community that will put up their hand and say, we need to do X, Y, or Z. It's like it goes through a filter, and what comes out the other side is, we need to raise the BSA, we need to raise the BSA, and it drowns out actual discussion about reform. This is the first substantive piece of reform we've seen in a long time. Special interest groups dig in their heels and come like a wave against any reform. because they want to drown out that discussion and get it onto the BSA. There's more to education than a BSA. There's more to education than a constitutional amendment. But I think we're confined right now as a state. We have a system that everyone agrees there are pockets of it that are doing wonderfully. Senator Dunleavy, I often bring up your school district. I think you guys are doing a great job there, and I think there are other school districts that deserve a lot of congratulations as well. Congratulations as well. I also want to talk about a little bit about the teachers, too. You know, the teachers in the public schools, they're probably pretty darn good. I don't really question that. I was working at the university when the requirements to increase the education requirements for teachers in Alaska was increased, and I think it was a good move, and I think we have a high level of professionals. My sister happens to be a teacher in your town there. But the point is that we don't get into a discussion about reform, and we have to reform this system. If we don't, what we're doing, if it's all about the BSA, then what we're doing is we're saying, I got a flat tire in my car, I'm going to put more air in it. I got holes in my house, and the wind comes and all the heat leaks out, and I can't keep the temperature up in my house. I'm going to build a bigger fuel tank or buy a bigger fuel tank that I can put more fuel in. That's not the discussion we need to be in. And guess what, Senator Olson? I'd agree strongly with you on a lot of what you were saying about we're the ones who are supposed to make a lot of these decisions. But we're not going to get in the kind of discussion we need at this table. It needs to be out there. It needs to be in rural Alaska. It needs to be in urban Alaska. It needs to be in the schools. And it needs to be among the teachers. Good for them. They piled on last night, and I thought there was some pretty decent testimony. As a matter of fact, the best testimony I heard was this morning, a gentleman who testified in disagreement to what I would think. But that's the kind of discussion we need. Constitutional amendments generally bring out that kind of constitution at the cellular level that we've got to have to cause reform. If we don't, the special interests are going to win every single time, and it's only going to be about money, and we're going to keep putting air in a flat tire and building bigger fuel tanks for leaky houses.
Very good. Thank you, Senator Kelly. Senator Bishop.
I just wanted to dovetail on, Mr. Chairman.
Sure.
Senator Kelly's comment, it just something resonated with me. It's lots of great discussion. I got the utmost respect for the senator to my right for what he's proposing and bringing forward. Change is good, but we need to have the discussion, and we're having that. But constitutional amendment, I don't know, personally, I think we should be able to recognize where our deficiencies and shortfalls are in education, working with all stakeholders and fix those problems before it ever becomes a constitutional amendment discussion.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Bishop. Any other questions, comments from committee members? Okay. If not, I think we cleared up the fiscal note on this. Senator Hoffman, were you grabbing your mic? Or are you just...
Pardon?
Were you grabbing your mic or grabbing...
No, I wasn't grabbing my mic. I have opinions on this and questions and concerns, but I'm hashing them out in my head.
Okay. Very good. Okay. Well, keep hashing there, Senator Hoffman. So with that, we will... Senator Kelly, you have...
Can I remove this?
No. So with that, we are going to adjourn for now. We'll reconvene tomorrow at 9 o'clock. And we'll be continuing our discussion on education and education reforms. The high school exit exam, as well as the broadband discounts for schools. Kind of a little different topic, but still education. So we'll be here at 9 o'clock.